Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
And so Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and I'm reading from the NIV, and so I want to encourage you once again to pull it up, but it'll be on the screen for you as well. And it says this: a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, you are forgiven." Now, if you're the note-taking type and you want to know what to title this message, it's simply this: what about your friends? You know, I've heard it said before that friendship is essential to the soul. The scriptures have much to say about friendship by way of stories and wisdom that illustrate what it means to be a good friend. And even at the outset of this message, I uplifted my brother, my friend, Quay, as an essential component of my life. And so, if I'm honest, when I read this story, I thought about all the songs, because I think about life and music, thought about all the songs that had to do with friends. I mean, you got friends. How many of us have been friends? All right, I'm gonna quit. But then you got Lean On Me. When you're not strong, I'll be your friend. You know, and then it's that old Toy Story song. You got a friend in me. You know, it's okay. Y'all don't have to hear no more of my singing. But the one that really rang out for me was TLC. What about your friend? See, because friendship is important. And so here in Mark, in this particular gospel account, the story is told of Jesus in his early ministry, and he's made his way through Capernaum. He's healed Peter's mother-in-law. He's made his way through Galilee, exorcising demons and healing the sick, and then he's back in Capernaum. And news of what he's capable of has spread far and wide. People are crowding in this little bitty house to hear Jesus preach the word, because Jesus would heal people and say nothing about this, and people went and ran in their mouth. And so everything about Jesus is centering in this story. And then we have these five guys. You know, many scholars believe that this was Peter's house that Jesus was preaching in. And so it's interesting that we hear about the damage that was done to the house. You know, I think about how these four guys brought their friend, and I would assume that they tried to get through the crowd. They were probably like, "Hey, man, can you move over? I'm trying to get my friend to Jesus. Can you just get out of the way? He needs to get to Jesus." But then those efforts didn't avail, and so they had to go at plan B. And I imagine as bits of clay get in Jesus' hair and dust is filling the room, as onlookers are in awe and disbelief, like, are they really digging in this man's roof? And all they could do is focus on, what does it mean to get this paralyzed man to Jesus? You know, while this story could be about many things and many perspectives, I couldn't help but notice that this disruptive band of brothers did something uncommon to achieve the unimaginable. And as Jesus encounters them, he doesn't say, "What are you doing?" He doesn't say, "Why are you messing up the roof?" He doesn't say, "Why are you interrupting my sermon? Could you just be a little more quiet?" Nope, he says, "You know what? I see their faith. And so, son, your sins are forgiven." That's my point today. Their faith. Their faith. As I studied this passage, I realized that although I've seen this story several times, this time I approached it with a different lens. One of the things that I'm learning through my seminary journey is that you have to dig a little bit deeper into the scriptures, and being able to read the biblical languages and understanding culture and squeezing the most out of the passage allows you to really see truth that God has for us. You know, one example of getting the most of this is recognizing what happened with these five guys. One was paralyzed and four guys, you know, I call them friends because friends are the ones that are going to do this for somebody. You know, to be sure, there's no iteration of this story that clarifies these five men by name, but I know one thing that Jesus called them: faithful. Their faith. The Greek word used here in this passage for faith is rooted in the word pistis. Why is this important? Because pistis is not this blind intellectual belief, and people really in the ancient world didn't have the same perspective or idea of faith that we might have today as this abstract intellectual concept. Instead, when Jesus saw their faith, he saw their actions. He saw their fidelity to the cause. He saw their commitment to the cause of helping this man get well. What kind of reckless audacity did these guys have to even get to this point? You know, I read this passage and my imagination goes wild. You know, I think about, what did they come prepared for? Did they come prepared knowing that the roof might have to be their only way in? Did they anticipate the needs of the brother on the mat and say, we're getting him to Jesus by any means necessary? Did they come prepared with a book bag, with a pickaxe and a shovel? Did they have some rope laying on the side? Did they decide, you know what, even if we can't persuade these people to get out the way, we're getting him to Jesus? When I look at these five men, I realize that no matter where we are in our faith journeys, we are all simultaneously the men who carry the paralytic and the paralytic. We can be the one helping someone and be in need of help at the same time. You know, right now, I want you to take a moment to think back to the beginning for you. For those of you who have said, Jesus is Lord, I want to ask you this question. Who helped you? Who sat down and studied the scriptures with you? Who allowed you to see Jesus in real life, in real time? Who showed you love, patience, and kindness when you had nothing to give? Who gave up time with their family, their kids, their business ventures, their jobs to sit with you while you were raggedy and needed help getting to the feet of Jesus? Who paid for your meals and opened their homes while they modeled Jesus through this pistis, through this fidelity and commitment? Who helped you? Why can't we forget that? Well, we can't forget because when we forget, it's easier and easier to drift into this capitalistic concept of Christianity that we've adopted and forget that Christianity is rooted in the collaboration that happens in community, in koinonia, joint participation, working together. You know, I always tell people when I sit down and study the scriptures with them about the moment that it clicked for me. You see, I was this arrogant frat guy that had everything I thought I wanted and access to everything I thought I needed. And yet, Angel hit me up one night while we were studying the Bible. And it was after step practice. It was late. And he said, you still trying to get in the scriptures? And I had skirted Angel a couple times. I had rescheduled. I had flaked on him, to be honest. And so I felt bad. I was like, you know what? If he wants to come through this late, he can come. And so he came down 166. And the thing that opened my eyes, the thing that shifted everything for me, was to see how he was so willing to sacrifice time with his pregnant wife, to not beat me up, but to use his resources, his time, his experiences to say, you know what, I need you to get to Jesus. And so I'm going to share my struggles with you. I'm going to share my journey with you. I'm going to share not what I used to go through, but what I currently go through. That was revolutionary because no pastor had ever sat down and done that for me. And that was the moment that I realized he was showing me a Jesus that I had never seen before. Now, 10 years later, I now know that that time meant more to Angel than I knew. It stretched him. It grew him. It humbled him. You see, our culture will have us to believe that the growth that we seek comes from getting more information, more learning, more deep diving into scriptures, and we can get the best teaching in the world over the internet. We can look up whoever we want to hear from. We can stream the best worship music. We can get the best programming wherever we want to get it from. But lean in. Let me tell you a secret. Let me just let you in on something. Nothing refreshes you, reinvigorates you, renews your faith like doing what was done for you. Think about the men in the story. What compelled them to say, no matter what it takes, we're getting this man to Jesus? Could it be that the more they worked together, the more they learned about each other, the more they dug into the roof and got their hands dirty together, the more they loved each other? Is it possible that while they were carrying this paralyzed man on their backs to the roof, that they heard stories of that man? Could it be that as they went through this, they heard about each other's past, each other's trials, each other's victories and defeat on their journey to the top? Could it be that they heard the pain that this paralyzed man endured, and their suffering and concern for one another joined their hearts together? This may be abstract for you, and so I want to make it, bring it in a little bit. You see, over the last few weeks, Elijah, my brother Wood Pusher, and I have been studying with our friend Jonah. And every time we get together, we come together over food and talk about life as young married men. And even about what it means to overcome hardship in its various forms while we dig in the scriptures. But throughout this time, something amazing has been happening. My heart continues to connect to Elijah because as he shares his background, the ways God works and the ways God has revealed himself, I'm getting details of Elijah's life, although he's telling Jonah. And so while we're helping Jonah get to the foot of Jesus and our hearts are joining his, that love and faith is strengthening my relationship with Elijah. Could it be that we need to get back to being reminded of our why? In this season of transition, discontent, and disconnection, if you're not feeling refreshed, my question for you is this: who is helping you, and who are you helping? Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous person will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. But see, I like how the Message version puts it. It says, the one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. Love for, joy with, and commitment to one another doesn't grow through empty conversation. It doesn't grow through contrived gathering and always having fun together. It grows through being in the trenches, getting your hands dirty together. And so why do we talk about seeking, saving, and sending at the path? Because we're trying to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, and it means getting people to Jesus. I mean, if you want to have a conversation about the deep implications of eschatology, soteriology, and Christology while going into the particulars of the hypostatic union, we can do that. But if that doesn't mean we, the church, means being the church, if that doesn't lead to jointly participating and helping each other get to the feet of Jesus while helping others, what's the point? You see, because for as long as I preach the gospel about Jesus, I will forever preach about what Jesus preached about, setting captives free. Right now you're watching and you may be in one of a few places. You may be excited about your relationship with God. You may be on cloud nine, and to you I say, share that joy. That joy is contagious. You may be a follower of Jesus, but this last year has knocked you off. You've doubted and you've forgotten what Jesus did in your life when you were paralyzed. To you I say, who is helping you and who are you helping? Or you may even be in a space where you don't know where you stand. You don't know if you can get beyond the crowd. You're paralyzed and you feel like you've been flailing. You've been asking for help from everyone that passes by, and you just cannot move your feet toward Jesus so that he can forgive your sins and heal you. I got something for you too. Reach up and reach out. Send us a message. Connect with us on social media. Pop into one of our virtual small groups. We want to help you. We want you to walk until you have the strength to help others to walk as well. I want to close out at the end of this story in Mark chapter 2, verse 11 through 12. And it says, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He, the paralyzed man, got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Earlier, you heard me show Quay some love. Some of you know this, and some of you don't, but me and Quay's friendship was born in the trenches. Through the fires, difficulties, defeats, and triumphs in life, our friendship literally has been forged through blood, sweat, and tears. When he became a disciple of Jesus and gained the ability to walk, he had to carry his mat. That mat was covered in all the dirt of his past, all the things he had accumulated, but that healing was in full view of so many, and I saw it up close and personal. So when I needed help, because I was paralyzed, Quay, Brendan, Angel, and Deshaun were my four. They expended their resources to get me to the feet of Jesus, and now I'm walking with my mat in full view of this crowd. You all and so many others that I've been able to be in front of over the last 10 years. And so I ask, what about your friends? As you hear my voice right now, I want to encourage you. You may be trying to figure out what you believe. You may be in a space where you stopped leaning into relationships that can get you to the feet of Jesus over and over again. I want to encourage you. Get back in the fight. Put yourself back in position to be strengthened and to turn back and to strengthen others. Don't let your pride, shame, cynicism, or doubt stop you from what God has for you. You know, I was talking to Chase, and we were talking about how the book of Mark, the gospel written by Mark, is a gospel that Peter passed on to his protege. Mark did not walk with Jesus. But you see, as Peter was telling his story to Mark for him to record, I wonder how Peter's eyes swelled with tears to know that his home was the site where Jesus did the impossible. where Jesus healed the sick. How much would have Peter missed out on if he had given up and not allowed himself to be restored by Jesus despite his shortcomings? And as you reflect on that, think about who's helping you and who are you helping? As we prepare to take communion, I want you to think about how Jesus was placed on a cross in full view of everyone so that we would have access to walk out in full view as healed people because of a deep and enduring faith. Let us pray. God, you are so amazing. You give us ample opportunity to see how you work. And you care about the details of our lives. Father, I pray that as we prepare to drink the juice that represents your blood and to eat the bread that represents your body, that we can be reminded that you had to shed that blood so that we could be healed. God, let us not take that for granted. And let us not forget why we do what we do. We love you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.